birds singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise.
You were only waiting for this moment to arise.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night.
Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn, your friendly lawyer lady, economist on the radio, coming to you every day from 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, broadcasting on WAUK. That's my local outlet. You can always go get some fabulous AUK merch if you go to civicmedia.us up in the right-hand corner. We got a store if you're looking to update your wardrobe. Why not do it with some cool WAUK gear? That's 540 AM all across southeastern Wisconsin. But if you ain't in that region, don't worry. Just download that Civic Media app and you can take me in your pocket anywhere you go. The second half of this hour, I want to talk about what can only be described as a disturbing trend in the big media. I don't want to say mainstream. I just want big media. I talked briefly yesterday with Dom Selvia, the guy who's got that great show that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6. He's my special guest on Mondays. We talked yesterday not just about January 6th, but also about the fact that the Washington Post spiked, in other words, rejected a cartoon from one of their Pulitzer Prize-winning political cartoonists that depicted a number of billionaire CEOs and companies prostrating themselves before Donald Trump. Showed Jeff Bezos, of course, owner of the Washington Post, offering up a big old bag of money to Donald Trump. It also included Meta boss Mark Zuckerberg, OpenAI chief executive Sam Altman, LA Times owner Patrick Soon-Shiong, and Mickey Mouse, of course, representing Disney and ABC, prostrate before a Trump colossus. Political cartoons are supposed to be sometimes very disturbing, impolite, even rude. That cartoon fit the bill. Tim Cook, Apple CEO, giving $1 million to Donald Trump's inauguration. I mean, you got Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough going down to Mar-a-Lago to make nice with the incoming press. All of this sort of explained by, well, he's going to be the next president, so we want to have a working relationship with the president. The man is an inveterate liar, a misogynist, a civilly convicted sexual assaulter, a fraudster, and convicted felon, a stealer of super secret spy documents, an inciter of a insurrection. Pardon that slip of the tongue. Generally speaking, that is not the list of characteristics or of qualities of someone that I find myself compelled to be kind to. Respectful because he's the president? Yes. Blistering in criticism? Also, yes. And meanwhile, I think it interesting that today the Washington Post published a cartoon by a very conservative cartoonist poking fun at Surgeon General Vivek Murthy's work over the course of the Biden administration on alcohol abuse and the tie between alcohol and cancer, on the negative impacts of social media on our kids, on the epidemic of loneliness and how it contributes to mental illness, the impacts of stress on our wellness. All of these things, worthy efforts. And Ramirez's cartoon, scathing. But should the WAPO put it out there? Of course they should. It's good political critique. I don't believe it's accurate or particularly meaningful, but okay. Why are all these media outlets losing their nerve? The Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, the New York Times, the LA Times. That is a concern. Being respectful doesn't necessitate obsequious niceness. In fact, being respectful requires being respectful, firstly, to the American public, an effort to get the facts right, to tell the truth about things, to correct when errors have been made, to apologize for those, something I always attempt to do. I don't get it right all the time. Get it wrong, I'll apologize. And all of that seems, at least in part, to be even more extraordinarily demonstrated by big media's complete failure to plainly state that the Cybertruck Vegas car bomber was an ardent pro-Trump MAGA guy. Not how it was reported. Not at all. In fact, the way it was first talked about was that he, quote, bore no ill will towards Mr. Trump. Not only did, why even say that if you don't have any information about it? And if you did have information about it, then you knew that he was not just no ill will, that he was pro-Trump. How do we know this? Two letters or statements that are apparently authored by the perpetrator of that crime, that domestic terror event. Here is some of the language. And let's be clear. A common thread between what happened in Vegas and New Orleans. These are former service members. It appears serious PTSD, mental health problems, isolation. That is a problem that our country is facing. In fact, the Surgeon General is correct about that. Here's the language from the Cybertruck attackers or car bomb exploders. Didn't kill anybody, injured a bunch of people. Here's what he said. I'm not going to read the whole things, but just some excerpts. It basically follows along these lines. Time to wake up. We are being led by weak and feckless leadership who only serve to enrich themselves. Military and vets move on DC starting now. Militias facilitate and augment this activity. Occupy every major road along federal buildings and the campus of Fed buildings by the hundreds of thousands. Lock the highways down with semis right after everybody gets in. Hold until the purge is complete. Try peaceful means first, but be prepared to fight to get the Dems out of the Fed government and military by any means necessary. They all must go, and a hard reset must occur for our country to avoid collapse. I don't remember where in civics I learned about single party complete control and the removal of a second party from our democracy. Don't remember that as part of a healthy democratic process. That was statement one. Statement two. Greed and gluttony has consumed us. The top 1% decided long ago they weren't going to bring everyone else with them. You are cattle to them. We have strayed from family values and corrupted our minds. And I am a prime example of having it all but never enough. A lot of us are just sitting around waiting to die. No sunlight, no steps, no fresh air, no hope. Our children are addicted to screens by the age of two. Oh, apparently Surgeon General Vivek Murthy correct about that. We are filling our bodies with processed foods. We must take these actions if we are going to make it past the next few years in one piece. We must end the war in Ukraine with negotiated settlement. It is the only way. Focus on strength and winning. Masculinity is good and men must be leaders. Never mind that equal protection clause. Strength is a deterrent and fear is the product. Weed out those in government and military who do not idealize number two. The income inequality in this country and cost of living is outrageous. I agree with him there. The number of homelessness on our street is embarrassing and disgusting. Have some pride and take care of this. Stop obsessing over diversity. We are all diverse, and DEI is a cancer. Thankfully, we rejected the DEI candidate and will have a real president instead of Weekend at Bernie's. We must move on from the culture of weakness and self-enrichment perpetuated by our senior political and military leaders. We are done with the blatant corruption. Our soldiers are done fighting wars without end or end states or clear objectives. Consider this the last sunset of 2024 and my actions, the end of our sickness and a new chapter of health for our people. Rally around the Trump, Musk, Kennedy and ride this wave to the highest hegemony for all Americans. We are second to no one. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Here's why this matters to you, whether you're a Trump supporter or not. This context is important to understanding what happened in Las Vegas. The failure of big media to report it robs you of information that you should know. Now, can media cover every bit of context for every newsworthy event? Of course not. But his explicit support of the MAGA presidency and its ethos as the motivating reason behind what he did is essential to understanding what occurred. And it's essential to understanding where people's heads may be at. I mean, we talked about insurrectionists and people being manipulated. So much so through lies and a conspiracy that they stormed the Capitol, that they brought democracy to a standstill in our country yesterday on the four-year anniversary of January 6th. There's a through line between January 6th and what happened here. This explicit endorsement of violence and crushing of your opposition, which is can only be acknowledged as a constant theme from the incoming president, this is a through line, and it's a dangerous one. Now, you heard me call out some things that he got right in his letter. Greed has consumed us. The top 1% decided long ago they weren't going to bring everyone else with them. You are cattle to them. I agree with that. Why would we give the top 1% more tax cuts then? I wish this man was still with us. Let's have that discussion. Let's get you some help. Let's talk about facts. Let's engage in a democratic debate. Let's exercise our First Amendment rights. Let's criticize a president or presidents or policies. We're going to go to the phones and the text lines when we come back. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked to this important and critical discussion about how the failures of big media are keeping the information that you need to understand the world from you. More when we come back right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Blackbird, fly into the light of a dark black night. Blackbird singing in the dark of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly.